Good evening and welcome to City Visions. I'm your host, Ann Harper. It is mid-July. Don't tell the kids, but we are just about halfway through summer. And I bet if you ask 10 different teenagers what they're doing this summer, you might get 10 different answers. Some are away at camp, or working summer jobs, or on vacation with their families, or practicing sports, or music, or maybe doing very little at all. But tonight, we're going to talk about the kinds of summer experiences that can dramatically change a young person's life. Like from being a gang member in Hunters Point to graduating from Harvard Business School. That kind of change. And we have just the right people here to talk about this topic. Joining us in the studio tonight is Linda Mornell, founder of the nonprofit organization Summer Search, and author of a book called Forever Changed, How Summer Programs and Insight Mentoring Challenge Adolescents and Transform Lives. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you.
Also joining us here in the studio are two Summer Search alumni, Solaria Perez-Stepanov. Welcome, Solaria.
Thank you.
And Carlton Colbert. Welcome, Carlton.
Thank you.
I will let Solaria and Carlton share their stories in a moment about how their summer experiences radically changed the trajectory of their lives and ultimately led to the successful careers they have today. And we will be inviting you, our listeners, to join our conversation later in the hour by dialing 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134, or you can email us at cityvisions@kalw.org or post a comment on our website, kalw.org. Linda, let's start with you. In 1989, you had a pretty simple idea that wound up being something pretty amazing. Tell us about your idea and how it began.
Well, thank you, Anne. I'm thrilled to be on the show and thrilled to be able to explain this. I'm incredibly proud of having had such a surprising, for me, idea in the early 90s. Before I describe it, I think I should start with what inspired it, which is my experience with my own three teenagers.
Absolutely.
They grew up in rural northern Marin in a small town, and that had a counterculture that was they struggled with. And then we decided to put them into a private high school. We had some scholarship opportunities, and they went to a private high school, but were sort of left out because they were behind academically. So they struggled in high school as well. And one of the things that we happened upon was that whole concept of summer programs. This is not something that I grew up doing, my husband either, but we did the research and we fell in love with Outward Bound and the kind of challenge that it offered young people, teenagers, not camps for younger kids, but teenagers. So we insisted that all three of our children do an Outward Bound trip at the end of their ninth grade. Our middle daughter struggled the most. She was not an athlete. She was between two very competitive athletic siblings. And she was adamantly refused to go on an Outward Bound trip. This was an anathema to her. She had a lot of fear. She was afraid of water. She was afraid of the dark. She was afraid of heights. She probably was afraid of extending herself too much, to any great degree as well. Anyway, we insisted that she go, and she went on a three-week wilderness expedition with Outward Bound to Oregon. The first week, she developed a name. Everybody called her Sarah. Her name was Sarah. Sarah Kent. But after the first week, because she knew she couldn't come home early, she became Sarah Can. Her attitude changed, and her concept about herself and her inner strengths began to develop. So we saw a tremendous blossoming, and they all loved it. They all struggled with it. She probably got the most out of it. So that all, and seeing the confidence develop in her to her sister and brother, is what gave me the idea. Because these trips, as most people know, are pretty pricey. And I thought, well, every child should have this opportunity. So I, very out of character for me, I started a nonprofit. We called it Summer Search, to give full scholarships to deserving teenagers who also were willing to take a risk and take a challenge. So that's how it started.
That's terrific. And how many kids did you have in your first year that you started
14.
Out? And how did you decide which programs they were going to do?
Well, I was a psychiatric nurse in private practice, and my practice was mainly adolescents. I worked with my husband as well. And I was so excited about what a summer program could do that I started referring my clients, teenage clients, many of them who were fairly resistant and didn't particularly want to spend 3 weeks in the summer in the wilderness, but strongly encouraging them. So I developed a knowledge of the field and the various opportunities, as well as the directors of the different programs.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think is it about the wilderness experience, backpacking or camping or whitewater rafting, that's so valuable? What is it about that experience that helps these kids figure out who they are?
Well, it's just them. They don't have those messages in their head. It's not about school performance. It's not about getting the right grade. It's not about social media. It's not about who likes you, who doesn't like you. It's about coming together as a group and having to work really, really hard together to get through the experience and finding out how strong you are on the inside. I recommend that for every adolescent.
Mm-hmm. But Summer Search, in particular, targeted low-income teens, correct?
Yes.
I have to quote part of the mission here because I think it's part of the mission is to help low-income teens transform what they believe is possible for themselves.
Yes.
That's a powerful mission. How did you think you could transform what low-income teens believed about themselves?
Well, we only use longer programs because you don't transform, I think, in a week. So that's why we're interested in the 3-week, 4-week programs, mm-hmm. especially with the wilderness expeditions.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It was all an experiment, and I learned a lot in those early years. I ran Summer Search by myself for 5 years. Now we have a staff and hundreds of mentors and Summer Search offices in 7 different cities.
That is amazing. Now, Carlton, you were at Mission High here in San Francisco.
Correct.
You were an 18-year-old sophomore reading at a fourth grade level. Can you tell us about your life at that time?
Well, growing up in Sacramento, California, I was introduced to a life of gang activity and being involved in with the wrong crowds and going through a public school system. Which, pretty much just passed me along and never really took the time to help me out. And being, without my mother, my mother was in prison, and my stepfather never really accepted me as his own, but still did take care of me. So I was just a really broken child at that point. And
Carlton, can I just throw in, please. Carlton's referring teacher was a wonderful woman named Jan Hudson.
Yes.
And I still remember the day we came to Mission High School to interview you, Carlton.
Mm.
Jan said, I'm not sure this boy is Summer Search material. We look for potential and hidden potential.
But within my 25 years
yes.
of teaching...
Yes, go ahead, Carlton.
Never,
thank you.
But within my 25 years of teaching, I have never seen a student with his level of disabilities who is still trying.
Tell us about your disabilities.
My disabilities were in reading and writing. I struggled with reading and writing and, just comprehending, words on paper, but I was very, I can speak very well. I was very articulate to speak, but just
yes, you
it
were.
On paper. These things are true, but just putting it on paper, it was just a challenge for me.
Well, and you had some physical disabilities, correct, at the time? Your sight, your
yes,
hearing,
my sight and my hearing. Mm-hmm. My mm-hmm. sight and my hearing. My uncle threw me out a 2-story window after coming home from a gambling addiction that he had, and me being as small as I was and playful as I was, he banged me against the wall and threw me out of a 2-story window, and I landed on my left side and. you know, got brain damage and sight damage from hearing damage from that particular accident. But all of these things are definitely a part of me, but I have grown tremendously from them. And
obviously, I mean, but you had some serious obstacles that you were facing. And Linda, what did you think when you interviewed Carlton for the program?
Actually, it was the first time, Carlton, I think, that you had ever really had someone listen to that whole story, and it was a hard story to tell,
yeah.
A very hard story to tell, and I wasn't sure what to do because of so much trauma. You know, summer search is hard and very demanding, and going off on a trip, I didn't want you to have another failure, Carlton, so I was worried about it.
Very true.
Yeah. So I remember I made the decision based on one question. You want to tell that question?
If I can remember correctly, please help me out. it's actually not covered in.
That's okay. I remember I asked you all that your life had been hard.
Right.
And of all the hard things you had done, mm-hmm. what was the worst thing you ever did?
I hadn't killed anybody. So.
And you also, Carlton, said, I had to beat people up.
Right.
But I never took any pleasure in it.
Correct.
And that was what convinced me that you had an altruistic soul.
Right. Absolutely.
So from that moment on, you were in summer search, and we're still talking about it 26 years later.
These things are true.
So character was one of the things that you really looked for.
Absolutely.
For the students.
Character and altruism, caring for others. And yeah. Carlton had those very definitely.
So, Carlton, tell us about the summer program that you did after you came into the summer search program.
Wolfboro Academy, which is located in New Hampshire. And it was a six-week program for students with disabilities. These students were from all over the world, very privileged students from all over the world. And me being an inner city teenager with, you know, my attitude is I would call it, which is exactly what I had, struggled for my first 3 weeks of that program. But, you know, after the mentoring that I received and calling Linda and Summer Search, and I was able to turn that around in my last 3 weeks of the program, came out with the Most Personal Progress Award, which was awarded to me by the head of the school. Came back and applied everything that I learned in that program, and I grew, and my grade point average shot from like a 1.7 to like a 3.5. I was on the honor roll in that first year. So
that's amazing.
Carlton had been told that he was inadequate and couldn't learn, and in fact was dumb from kindergarten on. And at Wolfboro, he found out he was really smart.
Absolutely.
That was new information for you.
Yes.
And what was that call that he made midway through the program like to you, Linda? Were you the one that took that call 3 weeks into the program, you said?
Yeah. Well, Carlton's whole life had been impromptu, responding to emergency, responding to crisis, responding to danger.
Survival.
So discipline and sitting all day long in a classroom and going over things over and over and over again, that kind of structure, doing the same thing every day, at every hour, was really challenging. And you would call and vent, can't do it anymore, and then he'd take a deep breath and say, okay, I'll go back now.
Huh. All right. That's amazing. All right, so Solaria, you were also in school right here in San Francisco. Right here, I'm learning where our studio is. You were in high school, and at the time it was called Woodrow Wilson High
That's
School.
Right.
Is that
That's
right?
That's right.
Can you tell us about your time as a teenager here in San Francisco at that age?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you for having us here. It's actually a very special moment for me to be here with Linda Mornell and to share our experience because we've been in touch since 1993 when I did the program, and she has seen me grow, and she mentioned that Summer Surge is a program for deserving high school students, inner city high school students, and I didn't think I was very deserving. In fact, in my interview with when Linda came to Woodrow Wilson, she was the first person that I told that I was part of a youth gang. And at first, I talked about my grades and my extracurricular activities. She drilled down, and she was the first adult that I ever told that I was in a youth gang. And then at that point, I said, okay, there's no way that I'm going to be chosen for this program. And so I'm very thankful that Linda was able to see through and really see my potential when I didn't really believe in that.
What is it, Linda, about having the kids tell their story? Why is that an important part of the entry to the program and to the start of getting something out of a program like Summer Search?
I think it's important for all of us to learn how to tell our story. I think that's sort of the foundation for personal growth, is being able to develop and tell a coherent story with details. And Solari, I heard the emotion in your voice. You know, we're still telling that story and reflecting back. So it's another reason why it's such a joy to be here today.
Good. Solari, tell us a little bit more about what was going on. You were living in Hunters Point, is that right?
So I lived in the Mission District, and I commuted by public transportation, and any student can attest that public transportation in San Francisco, or at least at that time, it was very unsafe. And so the commute was usually where most of the where there was a lot of
violence,
yeah.
And so what was that like for you? I mean, is that why you joined up with a youth gang, like it's a choir, like it's but is that why
funny.
You bonded with other kids, and that they were similarly situated, I would imagine?
Yeah. So I went to just to give you a background. I went to middle school in Visitation Valley Middle School, which is very close to this area as well. And at that time, I just come to the U.S. I spoke very limited English, and I came into a school where I was bullied, and it was not a good experience on multiple levels, including the violence that takes place in middle school. So it was I don't wish it upon anyone. And so from that experience, once I came into high school, I pretty much said I got to defend myself. And to me, the most obvious route was to join a gang and learn how to fight and be able to defend myself and be in a fairly, in my world, fairly balanced world, even though it was very, very dangerous. But to me, the gang offered that.
Offered some sense of security.
Exactly.
Yeah. And what was the summer program that you did after you were admitted to Summer Search?
Let me just add quickly, so this what Solari says will make sense. Even though she was in a gang situation, she was an excellent student, a top student. So that influenced our thinking and what happened. And she also had the courage to be honest about herself in her interview. So, sorry, go ahead, Solari.
Yeah, so the program that I did was Cornell University, and it's an academic program. Same situation as Carleton. It was, you know, where privileged kids came together, and I flourished. I enjoyed it. I was in a situation where I would end up in a big group with a lot of kids walking
the
together.
The first week, how much time did you spend hiding in your room?
initially, it was kind of hard to come out there, but once I flourished, as I mentioned, and it's I believe it was a 6-week program, if I'm remembering correctly. Next thing you know, I was walking around with a big group of students, and it felt a little bit like a gang, but without the looking behind your back and being in kind of survival
negativity.
Mode. And you never know who you're going to fight next. That's how it was in the city versus at Cornell. All of a sudden, I was, you know, happy And all of a sudden, I learned about the goals and the visions that kids had for themselves. And I said, me too. I also want to go to an Ivy League. I also want to, you know, do great things. And there to dream, not just survive.
Huh. And that was the first time you saw yourself with that kind of vision about your life.
Absolutely. Huh.
This is City Visions. If you're just joining us, we're on local public radio, 91.7 KALW San Francisco, and on the web at KALW.org. Tonight we're talking about the life-changing impact summer programs can have on young people. We invite you to call in and share a summer experience that you or a family member has had that was life-changing, or bring us your questions or comments about our program. The number for you to call and join our conversation is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Or you can email us at cityvisions@kalw.org or post a comment on our website. So let's go back to that. You had been living in the city. You were part of a gang. You had some rough circumstances. You had gotten beaten up. I read in Linda's book before. You had had a cigarette burn from a girl that came up to you. What was it like just going to Cornell and suddenly living in a dorm and having three meals a day provided for you and not having to commute by scary, public transit that, you were having to deal with at the time? What was that like?
It was a dream. It was a dream on many, many ways. At the same time, I learned about the rigorous academic world that was out there, and I was forced to study and really push my mind to levels that I hadn't done before in a setting where the students around me were a lot better prepared than I was. But I was happy there, not worried about watching my back. And quite frankly, I think it can benefit kids who, if anyone's listening out there and you have kids and you feel like it might make sense to perhaps recommend a program, send them onto a program, it gets you out of your environment. It gets you kind of on a retreat. And in my case, academically, it really helped me. I got to see what it was like to take college classes, and I needed that academic reinforcement, because even though I was doing relatively well, I can't say I was a student, but close to it. In a public high school, it's much different than competing with students who've been in private high schools all their lives. And so to me, it was a wake-up call. I need to really step up my game academically, and I also need to do something about my life so I can go and pursue a college education and become somebody.
Is there something about, Linda, taking the young person away from their family and out of their community? Are the programs residential for the most part that you think are
Yes.
most transformational?
Yes, for sure.
And is that because they're forced to? Why is that?
One of the authors that taught me a lot was Lillian Rubin. She writes a lot about resiliency, which she calls transformational, transcendent children. Why do some kids like Solari and Carlton transcend trauma, and others don't? And one of her conclusions, one of the most significant things about resilient children, is they are able to separate from their parents, both mm-hmm. psychologically and practically. There are a lot of students that turn summer search down when they're offered these trips because they are unable to make that separation. So I think for all parents from affluent or underprivileged backgrounds, separation from parents during the teenage years is definitely something that we should all consider and support and invest in.
Yeah. And so do you think that low-income kids have a different experience on these summer programs than the higher-income kids? I mean, if is their experience somehow inherently different because of where they come from?
Well, Solari and Carlton were in the early years. Today, we have two summer trips. And the first one is always a wilderness expedition mm-hmm. because the group, we all react to appearances, and the group is forced to get beyond appearances very quickly because the trips are so hard. So they bond together. They have to talk to each other. They have to work together. They have to support each other. And I think it's that first step out where the playing field gets leveled. And after that, Carlton did two trips. Solaria had the one. After that, playing field is leveled, and you're no longer afraid of each other. You're not afraid of poor people. You're not afraid of rich people. The kids learn to trust in a whole different way.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely takes courage, that first step.
Right. And how do you decide which program is right for which teenager? I mean, there's something like 75 different programs that Summer Search partners with
and thousands,
all over the country. And,
thousands of programs in the field. It's called Summer Experiential Education, meaning learning through experience rather than classroom. Very, very valuable. Sometimes it depended on the programs offer me a scholarship, so usually half off the tuition. So that factors in my decision-making. Solaria, we just had one shot. She was a junior and with very, very high potential academically. Mm-hmm. And so we sort of went for it. But those were the early days. Again, we're a little less cavalier
maybe
today.
Maybe I can answer just a little bit of that.
Thank you, Carlton.
Absolutely. So, I mean, choosing the right program for the right student would be something like my situation, where I actually almost turned Summer Search down.
Surprised.
Right. So, you know, the first program is normally a wilderness program, but at that particular time, as you mentioned, that I was, like an 18-year-old, sophomore. So at that time, I need to get out of school. That's my only focus and goal. Mm-hmm. So even in that interview, when I was offered that opportunity, I said that it is I need to get out of school. And so she came back and she said, okay, let me think about this. Let's regroup. Let's talk in about a week or two. And then she says, I think that we have something for you. And then we had come to a beautiful hotel in San Francisco and sat down with a director of the Wolfboro Academy, and things grew from there. So, you know, choosing that right program sometimes is based on, what that individual is going
and through. Listening, and listening, Carlton. I listened to you, and
absolutely.
You were right. You were right.
What do you think would have happened, Carlton, if you had turned Summer Search down, if you hadn't been a part of that program?
I don't think my dreams would have been as big as they are now. I believe that if I would have turned Summer Search down, I don't think I would have been, the man that I am today. I would have been a man, no doubt. But my dreams, my visions, my goals have soared higher than they ever have.
Excellent. And obviously these summer programs aren't easy. I mean, both of you, had your struggles during the programs. And Summer Search gave ongoing support through that program. And then Summer Search also had kids write about their summer experiences when they got back. Why was that an important part of it, Linda?
I think that learning to speak, learning to tell one story honestly in a deep way, the next step is writing, learning to write that story. And we're very, very proud of the writing that the Summer Search kids do. And I would recommend that for parents who are supporting the program on their own, say an Outward Bound trip, expect their child or their teenager to write that experience up when they get home. That's an amazing learning experience, don't you think, Solaria?
Absolutely, without question. I mean, I've seen those stories continue on with their college applications because these are things that colleges want to know about, is the type of life experiences that these students have had.
They become very useful for college applications. Yeah. So there's a practical part as well.
Yeah, self-development. I mean, when I came back, I actually was motivated and ran for president of my school, and I won. And that gave me the ability to express myself in a in a more in a healthier setting, still in the city, still struggling with my surroundings, but it that's one of the ways that I could begin to change.
And you also had an additional problem when it came to applying for colleges, though, right, that you had to overcome. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, I applying to colleges was a challenge, particularly because at the time I didn't have a green card, and so it was very difficult to find financial aid. Luckily, through Jen Hudson's Summer Search, I found a program. They found a program. it's a boarding school. It's called a Northfield Mount Hermon in Massachusetts. I was able to win a full ride scholarship for 1 year.
A gap year.
So post high school, pre college, and it was in a beautiful setting, the best education that anyone can get. I was very privileged, and once again, it brought me back to being able to be really passionate about. Or being able to be in an academic environment where I could flourish. And that from there on, I was able to apply to Brown University. I got accepted. I got a big scholarship from Brown University and kind of enabled me to spread my wings and fly.
And you double majored at Brown, right?
That's right. That's right. I have an economics major as well as a political science degree.
And then you worked in New York for a few years after that, and then where did you go?
Yes, I was in New York City working a very competitive investment banking job 4 years, and then I applied to Harvard Business School, and I got in. I was very happy to make that step, and actually a fellow Summer Search student helped me with my application, Sasha Cabriga. I believe he might be listening right now, but kind of that network of helping each other out really, really played out. And after business school, I'm now a financial advisor, and I've come full circle because one of my passions is financial literacy for inner city high school kids as well as women.
Amazing. This is City Visions on Local Public Radio, 91.7 KALW in San Francisco and on the web at KALW.org. Tonight, we're talking about the life-changing impact summer programs can have on young people. We invite you to call in and share a summer experience that you or a family member has had that was life-changing, or any questions or comments you have about our program. The number to call in is 415-841-4134. It's 415-841-4134, or you can email us at cityvisions@kalw.org or post a comment on our website. So that's pretty amazing, from Hunter's Point to Harvard Business School, mm-hmm. Linda. That I mean, you've seen what now thousands of kids mm-hmm. Who go on these summer programs. They come back. They have a different vision of mm-hmm. who they can become. And then are able to succeed. Can any teenager, can this happen to any teenager? Or is this a very selective process? I mean, what qualities do you look for in the teenagers that you were interviewing at the time? How did you identify the ones who were going to be able to take advantage of the opportunities that Summer Search offered?
In the beginning, I didn't have the words for it, but within 5 years, I began to see a very clear pattern, and that is altruism. The kids that cared about the others, very often the student would be the one in their family who had taken a caretaking role, not necessarily the oldest. So these were wonderful young people. And to lose that kind of talent and character seemed to me like a tragedy. So that's what fueled my energy.
But you had to identify, you had to take kids who on paper were members of gangs, mm-hmm. had been, you know, had juvenile records.
Only one.
Okay.
Carlton did too. I forgot about that one.
No,
yeah.
I'm sitting right here.
Yeah. Two. Two actually had records.
Okay. I mean, and, you know, or were undocumented. I mean, there were obstacles that you had to get beyond in identifying these
yes.
kids in order
yes.
in order to help them. And did that make fundraising more challenging, or Or how did you go about raising the money to send these kids on these programs?
Well, someone asked me in the early days, how often did I think about fundraising or participate in fundraising? I said, as often as I breathe in and out. So because the kids did so well, because we have thousands of stories like Solaria and Carlton. Funders were intrigued and eventually those that got involved were thrilled to be involved and donated year after year. So we didn't have we have a saying, once a summer search.
Always a summer searcher.
We could almost say that of our donors. Once a summer search donor, we got them hooked, and they're always a summer search donor. So we have a group of people that are tremendously passionate about the program.
Mm-hmm. Were there any kids who didn't follow through or didn't, didn't have the experience that you had envisioned for them? Or, what would you do with kids who were you had a hard time keeping track of? After they did the program.
Well, the dropout rate happens early on. So we go to schools, we find teachers, we explain to them what we're looking for. The teachers nominate the kids. So a teacher in a given school like Woodrow Wilson, I think Jan nominated when I went to see you, Solaria. I think she nominated about 13, 14 kids. And said, if you are interested in getting an interview, all you have to do is write a one-page essay. And about half the kids didn't do that.
Okay.
So there's a self-selection process because it is hard, and it is, we call it going for hard. It's kids who decide that they're going to go for hard, they're going to take risks, and they're going to make it happen for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's much easier than you might expect.
But if you had unlimited money, how far in could you reach, do you think? I mean, to take different kinds of kids from...
Well, we're growing. Some research is growing. We hope to open offices in other cities. We're in 7 different cities. And expand those numbers of kids. I think we have over 1,000 kids going out on summer programs this summer.
That's amazing.
Next year, hopefully it'll be 2 or 3.
So I read that Outward Bound did an outcome study where they contacted students who had completed their course, and they found that 93% said they were more likely to accomplish their goals. Over 90% felt they were more likely to believe in their ability to succeed, and 80% were more likely to be a leader in their school or community. Mm-hmm. Do those numbers sound?
I believe it. Yes,
sound right to you. And 1 year post the course, I think 80% were more successful at school or work. 88% were more of a leader, and 93% believed more in their ability to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a direct result of the experiences that they went through on their summer programs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's
an achievement to complete an Outward Bound course or any kind of wilderness expedition. One of my favorite programs is a program called Deer Hill. Carlton's son went on a Deer Hill trip this summer.
Yes, so from being a summer search student to an alumni to having my son go, who's 17 years old, go on to a Deer Hill Expeditions wilderness trip. My son, just in short, very quiet, very closed, just not talkative, but kind of talkative around his peers. When he attended Deer Hill, I had worried about him being out there and communicating with the group. But I always heard in summer search, no news is good news. And so, I let things organically happen. And when he came back, I have never heard my son talk so much in his life about the experience that he's had and the people he's met and just so much about the trip. I just sat there and I just listened for 2 hours, and it was beautiful. It was like watching a flower just grow. I believe that it's these summer experiences are amazing for students, and I definitely wanted my son to take advantage of it.
That's right. This is City Visions on Local Public Radio, 91.7 KALW San Francisco, and on the web at KALW.org. Tonight we're talking about the life-changing impact summer programs can have on young people. We invite you to call in, share a summer experience that you or a family member has had. or bring your questions or comments about our program. The number to join our conversation is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. You can email us at cityvisions@klw.org or post a comment on our website. So, Linda, you mentioned that Summer Search is now a national organization that's active in 7 different cities, and you had your 25th anniversary last year.
Yes.
Congratulations on that. What do you see in the future? As Summer Search partners with additional, summer programs for kids, what are other kinds of programs that kids or parents who are listening to this program, how do they get involved? How do they identify the types of programs that might be right for their child? How do we expand these opportunities? I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yes. Well, I've worked with, again, affluent kids, and which I tend to call the overprivileged, and I've worked with the underprivileged. And I've seen both, and the hard thing very often is middle class parents are so squeezed today, in every way. So in considering a program, I just a few words of advice. First of all, don't be afraid of the cost, because you'll look at a program and it's $4,000 or $5,000. Very often there are scholarships, and Outward Bound particularly is known for being generous in that respect. Don't go with a friend. Go alone, right, Carlton?
Very true.
It's a chance to develop a whole new self-concept for any kid, and regardless of their economic circumstances, a friend sort of holds you back in taking that step. A lot of kids want to do that because it feels so scary. It's such a big risk. But it's a big investment of time and money, so parents insist that your child take a step off into the void by themselves. Because we all develop baggage, no one knows on these trips who you are. No one knows what your struggles are. It's a chance to develop a whole new side of yourself, right? Carlton and Solari are nodding.
I agree.
And pick something challenging. Don't pick something short. Don't pick something that seems easier and less scary. As I said earlier, we call it going for hard. Don't be afraid of going for hard. And for you parents, don't be afraid of insisting that your child take the hard choices rather than the easy choices.
Meaning in what respect? In terms of the program that you select? Or the
program you select. Uh-huh. Don't let your child dictate. In the book I write, one of the stories is about a very, very affluent young man who was outraged that his parents wanted him to go on a wilderness expedition for the summer. He may call in a little bit later. I'm hoping he will. But he was very, very, very. He came to my office, and I told him he had a choice. He could go sailing for a month. He could go on a canoe trip in Minnesota. He could do Deer Hill Wilderness Learning and Service. And I can't tell you what his response was, but it's in the book.
And how did that experience work out for him?
He's a donor to Deer Hill today.
Excellent. Yeah. So, can you describe the different types of programs that are out there? I mean, there's the Wilderness Expedition programs, mm-hmm. which you've talked about, which are, Outward Bound and Knowles and Deer Hill and other programs like that. There are academic programs like the ones that Solaria and Carlton went on at Cornell.
On college campuses, boarding school campuses, yes.
Right. And then what other types of programs? There was 75 or so different organizations that Summer Search partners with.
There is the very well-respected American Field Service, the Family Homestay.
Exchange programs.
And exchange programs. For Summer Search kids, I can't tell you how helpful, whose families are often fractured or in many ways don't have a family, to live with a family abroad. LeVar, who spent 2 months in Spain with a Spanish family, changed his life. There are the community service programs, which I'm also very fond of, working at an orphanage in Ghana, or a program that's very, very good for middle-income families because they have a whole system of raising money. It's called Amigos in South and Central America. So there's a long list. Parents, you know, look it up on the web. Mm-hmm. Summer, and I looked this morning, scholarships for summer experiential education programs, and there's quite a list.
That's terrific. Yeah. Okay, we have a caller. We have Maureen from Lancaster with a comment. Welcome, Maureen.
Thank you. I just wanted to commend you on the program. It's really exciting to hear, such a positive, such a good things about a positive program. And I wanted to just add my two cents as a parent of a child who did a summer program at a younger age. He was about eighth grade, getting away for several weeks. And I agree with you that 1 week isn't enough. It's 2 or 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks ideally. To be in a different environment other than the environment they are in and day out, in any situation, is really potentially life-changing. And I've really enjoyed hearing the stories of your two participants, and I wanted to assure you that I'm sure that you brought as much to those programs as you took from them to the other students who had the opportunity to be with you and spend time with you, because I know that for my son, meeting those people who had very different life experiences from his own was transformative for him as well. So thank you for sharing.
Well, thank you for that. What program did your son do?
He was in a fairly normal, camp program, but it was several weeks long, mm-hmm. which is the first time he'd ever left home. And it was a big challenge for him. But he came home. It's so eye-opening to be in just a different environment and to meet people of backgrounds very different from your own, regardless of, socioeconomic status. It was very broadening for him, and he took so much home with him. And so I just wanted to assure Carlton is it Sophia? I'm sorry.
Solaria.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that you brought as much to those programs as you took with you, and I'm very grateful that my son had that opportunity, and I commend you for creating this opportunity for so many students.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for the call.
Thank you, Maureen.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm curious, are you in touch with Carlton and Solaria, any of the kids that you met on this? I know it was a long time ago. But
let's just say I wish social media existed back then as much as it does now. I've lost a little bit of touch.
I've connected with two kids that that we were friends in through Facebook.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and I think it's great, and I hope that I can find more people over time, because it was a very critical time in my life. Here the program we're talking about, life changing, that was the summer that changed the trajectory of my life. Mm-hmm. And it's, I was in high school, so I still had time to go on and apply for college. It was a critical time. It was between my junior and senior year, so it's critical time in from a teenager's perspective, the time to still make it and pursue the American dream.
And do you think, is it important to have different types of kids in these programs? I mean, as obviously worthwhile it is to have low-income kids go on these programs, do you want them to mix with kids of different economic backgrounds? Is that more helpful than having programs, say, just for low-income kids?
Or just for rich kids?
Well, those already
diversity.
Exist, right?
So diversity, that's the other thing I'm really proud of. I've brought diversity to what has been a pretty private field of what I tell the summer search kids, rich white kids. You're going to be going off with a group of rich white kids. What do you think about that?
Right. Yeah, and, it's like our caller earlier said, we brought something to those programs, and we've also taken some things as well, learning how to deal with different walks of life and different folks. It's truly valuable and important to add that type of diversity.
Yeah, we're all scared of each other.
Absolutely.
And we don't have these opportunities to break down stereotypes.
Right.
Right? I thought you were in your room, Solaria, for 2 weeks at Cornell.
I have very fond memories of Cornell University.
We have Sasha on line two,
who uh-huh.
I think some of you may know. Welcome, Sasha, to City Visions.
Thank you. I am calling to congratulate Linda and Carlton and Solaria for being on the show. I'm a Somerset alum from 1990, so the first year of the program. And Linda talks often about the sense of confidence that these trips help build in Somerset students. And I can say that finally, 26 years later, I have enough confidence to call into a radio show. So Somerset is a gift that keeps on giving.
Can you give us a little bit of your background, Sasha, where you were when Somerset found you and where you are now?
Sure. So I ended up being in the program in 1990. It was literally 6 months after I came to this country from the former Soviet Union. So I was literally, I didn't even have a permanent residence here. And I, with the help of Linda and Summer Search, I ended up going on a trip to Israel. So that was my trip. And, it's 26 years later, I'm 43 years old, and I can say, that trip and the relationship with Linda are still the two most important experiences in my life. Maybe getting out of Russia was as important, but not much else kind of rises to the same level of impact.
That's a powerful statement.
So thank you, Anne, for having Linda and Summer Search on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks so much calling.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sasha.
Thank you, Sasha. Thank you. Good to hear from you.
Great to hear from you, Sasha.
We also have an email from Deb asking about Linda's backstory. Linda, what drew you to this, and where did you get your own courage?
Oh, thank you so much. excuse me. I grew up on a farm in Indiana, and these experiences were absolutely foreign to me. And I guess the closest I can come to it is I graduated from nurses training. My family didn't have enough money to send me to college. So I went to a traditional nurses training program at Methodist Hospital. They're pouring me some water. Thank you. And when I graduated, I was the only one who left. I left Indiana, and I got on a Greyhound bus, and I came to California. And I think I feel so lucky because I, given my background, my father was an addict as well, so I grew up with a lot of instability. So I think I understand. I'm able to get into the shoes of Carlton or Solaria. I understand some of these issues, having grown up with them myself, has certainly increased my ability to listen and empathize. And so the fact that I could think up a program that could then speak to all of these things, it's sort of like I get to go on those trips every single time, too.
I'm very thankful, Linda, that you had that ability to get in our shoes, because I don't know who else would have.
So you sort of had your own summer search experience coming out west.
I think so, yes. Yes.
Starting on your own. Can you talk a little bit about what gave you the original idea? I think you open your book talking about how you were sitting outside your children's school one day watching a student.
Well, it was a private school, a very prestigious one in San Francisco called University, and this African-American boy was standing on the steps and cracking jokes. Could have been you, Carlton, only you were at Mission High.
My jokes aren't that good.
I wouldn't know about that. Anyway, he just looked so uncomfortable. And I know how uncomfortable my own children were with the kind of affluence, even though they came from certainly a more financially stable home. So it just sort of hit me. Wouldn't it be fun for him to go on a summer trip? This was a young man who again, had some talent. He was on a full scholarship to a private school, had some support. But he grew up near you, Solari. He grew up in the Visitation Valley in the projects and had never been on an airplane. And had later, he told me, it scared me to death, he'd never been to Oakland. And if he told me that in the interview, I wouldn't have been quite so brave. The director of a community service program in Bali had called me the week before and said, we have the trip, we have 8 girls and 2 boys. If you can find a boy, we will give them 2/3 off the tuition. So this young man ended up getting on an airplane and going to Bali and doing community service for the next 6 weeks.
That's terrific.
We're still in touch today.
That's terrific. We have David on line one in San Francisco. I think this is going to probably have to be our last call. Welcome, David, to the program.
Yeah, how are you? You know, I was kind of shocked to actually hear that some of the schools are acting as if keeping a separation of rich and poor, young and old. America was founded on the idea that the kids would be shoulder to shoulder with each other because they would need to be interacting with each other later in life. And the idea that I don't know, is San Francisco going through some sort of a segregation of rich and poor? Because that's dangerous for the society. And I gave an example actually to your screener that the rich right now don't know how to get Donald Trump off of the GOP platform. The guy is insane, and the rich don't know how to deal with a bully. And it's very interesting that if they had been raised shoulder to shoulder with people like that, they would know how to deal with him. But the segregation is bad.
I couldn't agree with you more, and that's why I'm so proud to make the summer programs more integrated. I think increasingly with the excessive affluence, that the schools, the more affluent kids are going to private schools, and this is certainly true in San Francisco. What would you say to
well,
that,
most
Solari?
Of the schools that most of the kids that I went to school with in my public high school were from low-income households.
Yes, Woodrow Wilson was almost exclusively Latino and Black.
Absolutely.
In those days.
Yeah,
Mission
there were maybe
as well.
Three
Mission
yes,
High School in San Francisco was predominantly Latino and African American as well.
And today, how different do you think they are? I mean, Woodrow Wilson is obviously no longer in existence, but it is Burton High still here at this location.
But Mission probably, you know, I haven't checked, but, you know, it's the heart of the Mission, so it probably still is predominantly Latino, you know, from the Mission District, low income. I'm sure that has not changed.
Yeah, people know that public schools are typically not the best in San Francisco. I'm just putting it nicely right now. But and if they can afford a private education, they typically will. And I don't wish upon anyone my middle school experience, and I wouldn't want any parent to have their kids in a school like that. And hopefully today it's no longer that way. But that's why I'm thankful for programs like Summer Search.
And then also, you know, it also depends on area too, you know. If you're out in like Dublin inner city, so I mean, but San Francisco is predominantly you know, the inner city. Some of the inner city schools are low income.
I do want to say though, David, we do appreciate your passion on this issue. I wish more people were more passionate about it. So thank you.
Well, and it's ironic that as much as the tech world has sort of changed San Francisco and the rents are still keep going up, that it's unfortunate that money and then the economic success has not trickled down to the schools. Anyway, this is City Visions on Local Public Radio 91.7. That's the City Visions for this evening. My guests were Linda Mornell, founder of Summer Search and author of Forever Changed, How Summer Programs and Insight Mentoring Challenge Adolescents and Transform Lives. We had Solaria Perez-Stepanov, who's a Summer Search alum and financial advisor and portfolio manager at Morgan Stanley. And Carlton Colbert, Summer Search alum and videographer and webcaster for ICV Digital Media. And I regret that we didn't get a chance to talk about your travels around the world, Carlton.
Yes.
But thank you all for joining me this evening. For a link to this and other City Visions shows, to let us know what you thought about tonight's program, or to subscribe to alerts and download podcasts, visit the City Visions page on KALW.org. Our engineer this evening was David LaTulipe. Tonight's show is produced by yours truly, Ann Harper. Join us next time on City Visions when host Ethan Elkin explores the many ways driverless cars will change our lives. Again, this is Ann Harper. Thanks for listening. Good night and have a great week.